All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brendan Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast. The podcast about the ups and downs of all things edible, spreadable, and...
horrible.
Starring B and Z. That's short for Bretton and Zara, because...
Sorry.
What?
Go ahead. I'm so excited to get into the podcast.
Wait a
minute. Should we say everything at the same time?
That would be really weird.
If the entire podcast was spent
you and I just speaking.
I'm pretty good at that.
Stop copying me.
Stop copying me. Hi, Brenton.
Hey, what's up?
I missed you.
Oh my God, I'm exhausted.
Brenton was away this week, and I really missed you. I just want to say we are just reuniting, and it feels so good.
I missed you too. I actually thought, okay, so first and foremost, listen, everybody. I had the classic, quintessential summer, like Midwest kind of Americana summer weekend for Labor Day.
Fabulous.
That's right.
What did that entail?
County fair. I went to Sheboygan County Fair.
Oh my God. Does it get any better than that?
It didn't. And it was, some of my dreams were, some of it was disillusionment. Mm. Some of it was surprise.
Right.
Much like life.
Yes.
The things that I thought were going to be exciting weren't. And some other things that I didn't think were going to be exciting were.
Like what?
Some of the fried fair food was not, I thought before I left, I'm like, oh my God, funnel cakes and corn on the cob. And there was one really good thing. And so Sheboygan, which is right near Plymouth, which is known for cheese in Wisconsin. Now with Sargento.
Cheese heads?
Mm-hmm, cheese heads. The Sargento factory. Are we recording?
This is real. It's really happening.
No,
you're still asleep.
The Sargento factory
is
in Sheboygan. And I'm not saying it has the best cheese ever, but there's a lot of cheese. And they had there's the Lions Club. You know the Lions Club?
Mm.
It's a volunteer, kind of like the Rotary Club.
Oh, yes, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what they have in the East Coast.
We have the Knights of Columbus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there
the Italian faction.
What are the ones with the big hats? The big red hats?
That's the KKK. Oh, that's Santa.
Oh, yes. Well, they had a lovely grilled cheese. I donated tons of money. No, you know, they're like the guys that ride on the little scooters, and they're like, kind of...
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, we'll think of that. So
the Lions Club.
The Lions Club had grilled cheese sandwiches available for $3
apiece.
At the fair.
Okay. You
didn't have to buy tickets or anything. You just gave them cash.
Whoa.
And they had...
Were they good?
It was called rye with brick. Rye bread.
Okay.
With brick cheese.
I love it.
I don't know what brick is, but it's a...
Government cheese.
Government cheese. But it was a little... It was a little nutty. It was a little nutty. It was like a white Monterey white cheddar, I guess.
Yeah, it was just white for like white.
It was very
delicious. For white people by white people.
So then I went on to find my cheese curds as we walked through. And by the way, everybody looked like a cheese curd in Plymouth. People were very overweight. Not just oh, it's in the heart of America, people are overweight. There were body shapes and sizes that were so big that I had me and Preston walk up and take a picture because this woman...
That is not nice.
This woman's calf muscle was as big as Preston's torso.
Oh my God.
And I was confused. It was like an epidemic and I...
You did mention that last week that Wisconsin is the second most obese state.
If not, well, in that particular... And I'm not making fun of it. I was concerned. I'm thinking...
It's shocking when you're not used to... Because in New York, we don't see a ton of obesity because people, I think, tend to like kind of move around and walk more throughout the city. So there's not quite as much obesity. And it is really upsetting when people... I mean, my dad was obese, you know, and so I understand the plight of obesity.
Yeah.
But it is shocking when you see it. Yeah.
Well, needless to say, I walked past everybody very quickly and swiftly, and I walked straight to the cheese curd stand.
You dick.
And I know. And I know. Go ahead. No, I was just saying that.
No, I hear you.
And I got an order of mixed cheese curds, which I'd never heard of. What is that? Well, there was cheese nuggets, they called them, which I had never heard of, and I'm from Wisconsin.
Wow.
Jalapeno cheddar, mozzarella sticks, and then mixed curds. Oh, and the batter was something that I either don't remember as a kid or something that it was new to me, and it was kind of like a cornmeal beer batter.
Oh my God.
So I order it. It's delicious. It's incredible. I'm eating it. And I go into the little fair window, you know, the guy's there, and I said, hello. I said, who's the chef? And this guy with like crazy hair, and it was like 100 degrees and like the deep fry, you know, the little like carny tent.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the fair. And I was like,
I'm the fair.
I go, I'm a cook. I said, can you tell me what is in that batter? He goes, are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah, right. It's a family secret for 40 years. Like, yeah, guy, I'm going to tell you. Are you crazy? And I said, no. I was like, is there cornmeal? He goes, I'm not telling you. He got very upset.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, so you're fighting with carnies. Mm-hmm. You're taking pictures of fat people.
Mm-hmm.
There was eating contest?
I didn't see it. We just saw a dog jumping contest.
Oh.
There was a duck race.
I noticed on Instagram you saw some large rabbits.
Yes, many rabbits. I love rabbits.
Me too. A giant rabbit is the best thing to find at a fair.
Babies, goats, lots of little lamb.
I wonder about the people whose life experience it is to bring tons of rabbits to a state fair. No judge. I don't think it's a negative. It's just I want to know what their world is like on a daily.
I was actually very curious. Everybody was very, very friendly. All the farmers, lots of kids, lots of 4-H clubs.
Cool.
That was, and then I have to tell everybody about my favorite experience, which
please.
I did have up to this date. I am in my middle aged of human, but I'm going to live till I'm 120. So I'm actually in the first half. So okay. I'm not middle aged.
You're
yet.
Third aged.
Yeah, I'm third aged. And we went to the supper club, which I think I've mentioned before.
Yes, but tell us all the juicy details.
All right, everybody. Okay. All right.
Picture
sit back.
It.
Picture it.
Wisconsin.
We were driving in our Kia. our Kia rental. I know. I wish we had an old car, but we didn't. In my head, we did. And you drive through cornfields. It's about 12 miles outside of my parents' house. And you drive, it was about 12 miles. Cornfields. The sun is setting. I mean, it's just gorgeous. Purple, pink clouds against big cornfields. And you drive straight down this road, and we enter down this tiny little main street. Like, it's actually three buildings. That's it. There's two bars.
Okay.
Because it's Wisconsin, so that's all that's on the main street.
Yeah.
A restaurant, a bar. It's called Schwartz's Supper Club.
Oh.
All right. So Schwartz's Supper Club. There's little girls doing handstands in the middle of the road, the cartwheels. I was like, oh my God, this
Americana.
Is... It was like a Saturday night. We go. The wait was 2 hours.
Oh my God.
2 hours on a Saturday night. We got there at 7 p.m. Yeah. Very, even with the fair going on.
That's amazing.
And we sat. We had brandy old fashions, which are not like the fancy old fashions of Mad Men. These are just muddled cherries and oranges. With lots of Aristocat brandy, what kind of Christian Brothers?
The Aristocats.
Yeah, Aristocats. Yeah, Christian Brothers brandy. And now this is the kind I've told you before. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This is the steakhouse where you put your name in, and you have to guzzle down some cocktails and martinis, which are like $4, $5 a piece, and then you have to order from the bartender before you get to sit down.
That's so crazy.
So in case I'm not giving away the best business plan for any restaurant ever.
Yeah.
So you basically wait, and then the bartender, or there's some girl, usually a girl, coming around taking your order, and you sit down, and you're finally, you know, to get your order in, and then you sit down, and they call your name, and they go, Scott, party of five, Scott, party of five. Like, Schlaginski's party of five, Schlaginski's party of five. Like, and
a lot
she
of
does
Polish
this,
names there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But now people kind of make fun, you know, like, the great bottle, lots of, do you know what we call people from Illinois?
No.
Fibs.
Why?
And people from Illinois, if you're listening, think about it.
We do have listeners in Illinois, Bretton. Yeah,
okay,
careful.
Well, I didn't make this up.
Why do you call them Fibs?
Fucking Illinois bastards. Because the big city Chicago people come up, and they're like, a weekend in the country in Wisconsin.
Oh,
ba-da-da-da-da.
Weekend in the country in Wisconsin.
So,
all right. Well, you just put Illinois on blast. You hear that, Illinois?
No, I don't.
Listen,
I
like Illinois. I got no problems with y'all. I don't know anything about you.
Chicago's great. Chicago. It's my kind of town. So you go in, you order the steak. Sorry, let's cut to the chase here.
Okay.
I had the best steak of my entire life.
Oh my God, what kind of cut was it?
It was a double cut ribeye, bone in.
Perfect.
Frenched, of course. It was done to a perfect, you know, steakhouse medium rare.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the term supper club is actually just another name for a steakhouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it. We just, I don't know why Wisconsin calls it a supper club.
Oh, that's maybe so interesting.
Because they're only open for supper. I don't know.
Did you have blue cheese dressing at all in this meal?
Yeah, yeah. So you, so finally, when they call your name, you sit down at the table, and the crudité, and the crudité is waiting at your table.
A relish tray?
Yeah, the relish tray, exactly.
Oh my God.
So there's, you know, black olives, whole scallions.
Oh, like the black olives that when you were a kid that come from yeah. a can that you can stick on your fingers?
And then, yep, and then
like,
a little...
I'm a black olive monster!
A trio of dressings at the table, which one of them is blue cheese, ranch, and French.
French, that's my favorite!
French.
I love French dressing. Love what is it? It's just sugary red.
It's sugar and red.
It's sugary red.
I'm a, when I was a kid, I never understood. I thought Catalina was the name of the vegetable they used.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, it's 100% pure Catalina. So you sit at the table, you suddenly, you know, because you're starving because you've been waiting and you're drunk. Yeah. And we had the nicest, you know, little nice little college girl waitresses. Although a lot of, I found out that a lot of them worked there for 15 years.
That's great.
And they make tons of money. And then they promptly bring in the salads. And then 10 minutes later, your steaks arrive at the table.
Oh, my God.
Now, mine was 100% corn-fed. Again, if you go back to our burger episode, I was trying not to eat meat or support that kind of beef.
It's a once in a while.
C'est la vie. You know, c'est la vie. C'est la vie.
Yeah.
And when in Rome, when in Sheboygan.
Exactly.
It was, there is something to be said about 100% corn-fed.
Oh, I mean, it tastes...
like butter.
Like butter.
It's a butter steak.
Yeah, because it is basically butter.
It was dry aged. It was very well. It was just perfectly cooked. And I thought, well, if they got better beef, they would still do a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible tragedy that we have to settle for.
Yeah,
corn-fed beef.
Corn.
However, it can definitely be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, just like eating green mint chip ice cream, which is pretty much the only way to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't do it a lot. You know.
Yeah.
Where does green come from?
Green. We don't know. The plants, the chlorophyll. So anyway, that was it. The steak.
That sounds
and
fun.
So here, let me tell you something about this business plan. So we sit at the table, we get our steaks, we're eating. You're kind of too full for dessert. And if you do get one, there's ice cream or something simple. Mm-hmm. But we were only sat in that table for about 38 minutes.
It's,
I know.
So smart.
I put my stopwatch on.
You did? That's amazing. It's I don't understand how they like plan that though. As a, you know, former restaurateur and just restaurant person who always thinks about service, I don't really understand how you can plan it so well.
I feel like it kind of works
lamps?
In Wisconsin,
but how do you do it so that you know that, like,
I bet they have, so once the order is taken, they get the steaks down, because they probably have a time, like, oh, once the order's taken, you sit down within 10-15 minutes.
They're also, I bet, pre-grilling the steaks,
I would say, like, once,
yeah, which, you know, is not a negative. We used to do that. I mean, that's a thing. If you're in a really busy steakhouse or you're putting out tons of different steaks, it's actually not bad. You just do a pre-sear. Then you set it off to the side, and then you throw in the oven.
So that's it. So, and then probably as soon as you sit down, they probably fire the ticket.
Yeah.
And that's it, because you have how long to eat a little
plate. Right, because you're eating your salad and your whatever.
And let me tell you, that steak, it was 32 ounces.
That is a lot. Did you eat the whole thing?
No. God, no.
Did you share it with Preston?
Yeah, I gave bites to everybody. I mean, I could not human.
What did Preston get?
He got the queen's cut of the prime rib. They have the petite cut, queen's cut, king's cut, the Schwartz's cut, and the there's like the
I love
super,
prime rib, first of all.
The Schwartz's cut is 36 ounces.
What's the one above the Schwartz's? The, like, Jackie Gleason?
Yeah, 64 ounces.
Candy?
Yes.
64 ounces? You share that, obviously, with the table, though.
Yeah, and it was, I don't know, it was very affordable.
You know what I think of ounces in? When I grew up in Long Island.
254 grams, yeah.
No. When I grew up in Long Island, I grew up in Long Island, for anyone who's never listened to this podcast
ever
before.
And I'm from Wisconsin, for anybody.
How shocking. Yeah. this is called the Where We're From podcast. So we always drank those giant deli iced teas that were in, like, the styrofoam cups, and those were 32 ounces. So whenever someone says things to me in ounces, I picture it in a styrofoam cup. So, like, you ate a full styrofoam, large styrofoam iced tea cup full of steak.
The kind that doesn't fit into any of your minivan cup holders.
Absolutely not. Like, a big, you had, like, a big gulp for anyone not from Long Island of steak.
Well.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. And then, you know what?
That sounds fun.
It was wonderful.
Can I come next time?
Yes. Everybody should go there. It's just so fun. You're in the middle of nowhere. And
that sounds awesome.
Don't worry. The police condone drunk driving. A drunk driving offense in Wisconsin, I think the first time, is like, don't worry. All right, you get home safely now. I could not with that accent. The accent in Wisconsin is like, Aw, guy. Oh. People are so friendly. People are so incredibly friendly.
Everyone's very friendly. Like in North Carolina, too, when I used to go down and visit my dad, it's also like people are just friendly.
I came back yesterday and I... And
someone like threw a pile of poo in your face. No, and they're welcome back to New York, motherfucker. No,
actually, the first thing that happened when I got off the plane yesterday was the bus driver gave me a free fare.
Oh, really?
I took the bus.
The bus?
I took the Q70.
What in the hell?
Because it was
why?
Cheaper and faster.
Whoa.
That's my middle name.
I don't get on buses. I don't fucks with a bus.
Yeah, well,
I almost died in a bus.
Yeah, I don't. You have a bus phobia.
I'll get on a bus, but I don't like it. I'll fuss.
Yeah, fuss
on the bus.
Over a bus.
The whole way. Well, my weekend was actually also really lovely. I kind of did more typical things. I didn't really go out of my comfort zone. Although you didn't really go. You went back into your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed around the neighborhood. I went to Ugly Baby on Friday night with my cousin and my cousin's wife, Aika. Delicious.
Ugly Baby is... We talked about that before.
In our last episode, we just talked about what not to do before you have sex with someone.
And it was to go to very hot, spicy...
To eat at Ugly Baby specifically. Yeah. I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah.
At that.
Perfect.
That was my recommendation. And you could, the rest can be left up to imagination. So we did that. And then I saw a movie at BAM. I saw Madeline's Madeline.
Yeah, fabulous.
It's okay.
What's that big thing of tomato sauce you got in your kitchen?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm working this week. So I'm doing a giant drop off for somebody's wedding. So I have, I don't know, I'd say about 17 deli iced tea containers worth of tomato sauce simmering away on my stove right now. I'm making chicken parm. I'm going to make zucchini parm. I'm making meatballs. Went to Pisano's this morning. I said, listen, I need a bunch of butterfly chicken breast. And then they deliver them to my house.
God,
I'm telling you, Pisano's, they deliver for free. That place is amazing. So anyway, yeah, I did that. Now I'm cooking, but I went to the beach for one last hurrah. Bobby of Bobby's Pocket Pie and Bobby's Chicken Salad fame greeted us with open arms. And this weekend she made Mexican style chicken salad.
Oh, she's which is getting fancy.
She put corn in it.
I'm sensing a theme here.
There's a lot of corn talk, isn't mm-hmm. there, Breton? Being that it's the end of summer and we're in prime corn nibbling season. You can eat it raw. You can eat it cooked. You can cream it.
You know what I did? I got some corn.
Okay.
And I cooked some dinner for my parents.
Yeah, what else?
I picked a ton of cherry tomatoes because they had them growing.
Isn't and then that I made, just divine picking the cherry tomatoes right off?
I just,
divine.
Divine and divine. And I just put them in the oven at like 375. They have a convection oven and I kind of like got them a little brown.
Mm-hmm. That's my jam. Do you ever put a little sugar on there.
I didn't put sugar on it because they actually didn't need it.
They're like super sweet.
Yeah, they were wonderful. And then I went to the Madison Farmers Market, which is one of the biggest in the country.
How fun.
And I got a bunch of corn, as if that's the most unique thing I could get there.
No, but it's like what you should be doing this time of year.
And I made instead of corn macaroni and cheese.
Yum.
So instead of just using the pasta, I just put some cream cheese and heavy cream and butter.
Oh, so you made, I thought you put corn in the mac and cheese. You just made like a,
A corn hot dish.
So you kind of made cream corn, but you didn't cream it. You just put cream in it.
Yeah. Okay. And then I put the cherry tomato confit on top.
Madron,
which was a hit.
Delicious.
It was a hit.
What was your protein?
The leftover steaks.
Oh, fabulous. That's amazing.
we had enough leftover steak that we were still too full.
Really?
Over a game of cribbage. It was fabulous.
Cribbage? Mm-hmm. That's some old people shit.
Yeah. Well, apparently when you're young, when you're in your third of your life, you can do it too.
Yeah. You're like, it's time for the cribbage and the cream corn.
Yes. That was fabulous.
My grandmother used to play bridge.
Yeah. Bridge is... A lot of people play... In Wisconsin, I think they play bridge or cribbage.
Right.
Or euchre.
What about that game, Mancala? Did you ever play that with the beads?
Yeah. Beads, right?
It's basically just like move beads around a board.
That was like that in the 1960s. They're like, let's get worldly.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Oh, I went to...
Ooh, a Mancala set.
I went to the island of Java and I brought back Mancala and it was a hit.
Let's have some daiquiris.
Daiquiris from the Pacific. South Pacific. No, actually, they were from the Caribbean.
So anyway, in case you guys haven't guessed... Or you didn't read the title before you started listening to this episode. Today's episode is about...
Cornitas.
Corn.
Corn.
Maize.
Okay, so check this out, Zara.
Yeah, tell me.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, and you're welcome, there's plenty of books and articles written about this, but just to sum it up is that the corn, that corn was actually, you know, they did some research, geneticists, plant geneticists at the University of Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Are you working for Big Wisconsin?
And so anyway, yes, exactly. Thank you very much. And just go to my website and drop a penny into my tip jar.
Breton Scott is short for Breton Sargento.
But so here's what I thought about corn overall. So please. Apparently it came from a potentially a wild grass called teosinte, okay. I think, or teosint. I don't know exactly the correct pronunciation. But of course, remember when it, so I thought, oh, every culture has corn, right? Mm-hmm. Across the, you know, and everywhere.
Yeah.
Not everywhere, but, you know, Italian, oh, Italians have like polenta and this. And it's from Mexico. And really it wasn't, you know, as we all know, well, we don't know, but it really wasn't brought over to Europe until after, you know, Columbus, post-Columbus.
Right. And it wasn't even teosinte, right?
Something like that, yeah.
It's not, what I had read about it too, that it wasn't even, it's like a descendant of corn, or corn is a descendant of that. It's exactly. Only single road, correct?
This has been our great ancestors, the Native Americans and Aztecs.
Yeah.
Manipulated it into the product that that mostly resembles corn as we know it, like on the cob.
Crazy.
Apparently, it was very hard to get off the cob.
Really?
Yes.
How hard? So, harder than your harder little tiny.
So here
you
are some.
Chomp it in a
can
row?
I tell you a couple things I came up with?
Please.
I want to think about corn.
Yes.
Okay. From Monsanto to maize, maize, right? Elotes to ethanol. Corn is ubiquitous in our culture. By the way, this I did write. I did actually write this.
No, you're not freestyling right now.
Corn is ubiquitous in our culture. Our uses are. They're pretty much makes our current world go around.
Which it's is really true.
Think about this. High fructose corn syrup. We think of American state fairs. Well, they're Mexican, actually. You hear that? Mexican. Corn on the cob, corn fritters, Johnny cakes, corn dogs, cornhole.
Oh.
Candy corn.
Cornhole.
Corn starch, corn flour, maize, tacos, totopos, chips, burritos, cornmeal, polenta, hominy grits. Even Frosty the Snowman smoked weed out of a corn cob pipe. There was a movie called Children of the Corn written by Stephen King.
I need to stop you just for a second. That is the second scariest movie ever. Yes, I think we've discussed this.
Already. Okay, here's a factoid that it ends the podcast right here and we can never have it. There are 8 sequels to Children of the Corn.
Excuse me?
8.
8?
Not part 1, part 3. 8.
What else was there to say? There's creepy children living in the cornfield.
So anyway.
End of story.
middle of Children of the Corn part 7. Just kidding. I know.
Literally.
And then, okay, here's some other thing. Cosmetics, oils, soaps, ethanol, which I said already, which runs half of our vehicles in the United States and more. Corn nuts. Bugles.
Oh, my.
We forgot about bugles. Doritos, Cheetos, Fritos. Do you know it takes 19 minutes to fry a Cheeto?
No. Are you kidding?
19 minutes.
That's like. Why?
And guess who? And guess Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
A janitor in the Cheeto factory invented the flavor.
What did he like? Dip it into like Windex or something? And he's like, perfect. That's
he, like,
probably what
he
it's
like,
made
dropped
of.
His like bag of.
He's like, whoa! Yeah. And he like,
my ancho chili powder fell into the vat.
It's like a mad. He's like a superhero. He's like, ah! He fried himself for 19 minutes and then like stumbled like all burnt up into like the cheese powder room and then like that lit on fire.
Yeah, he's no longer.
Somebody ate him.
He's no longer alive.
No,
but
he was the first flaming hot Cheeto.
He made a dent in this world. Oh, God.
Whoa, that's crazy. That's so many things that have
I
corn.
Just, I thought, I was like, wow.
That's also a very good piece of writing you should submit.
I could just keep going.
Do you have
Hold
more?
Hold on, here's chapter.
Do you have more?
No, I don't. Oh. I'm just kidding. I wrote a novel. It's just over there in the corner.
In the corner?
Yeah, in the corner.
Oh, shit, corn.
Corn pun.
Corn puns.
Oh, here's one other thing, and then I promise I'll stop talking.
No, please. That's the whole point just of what we're doing. You have to keep talking.
Corn silk. I didn't know this, but you can make a tea out of corn silk.
You mean the thing you made a merkin out of? The corn hairs.
Yes. Little did I know that. Exactly. I already. This is a. We were ahead of ourselves. corn silk is a remedy for urinary tract infections.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It can cure diabetes and, well, everything cures cancer, supposedly.
Also. And causes it.
Yeah, correct. Corn causes cancer. And we can talk about Monsanto in a minute. Which we don't want to get into, but and also you can also use it as a toilet paper substitute.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
No.
Actually, sorry. I'm on Cobb's now.
Oh, but, because I was going to say, if you were going to use corn silk as a toilet paper substitute, that's a incredibly
sorry,
huge
sorry,
mess.
I moved on to Cobb's.
Perfect. And that remember, makes more sense.
You could, so you can use an animal bedding. I mean, animals will...
Animal bedding?
Yeah. My two cats will sleep on anything, including like a crunched up paper bag.
Totally.
So, actually, a corn cob sounds comfortable. But this is where they say a toilet paper substitute.
No.
Dildo. I didn't. I just made that up right now.
A dildo? Of course. Yeah, a whole corn could be a dildo.
Rib for his pleasure.
Of course. Yeah.
And then you can make corn cob jelly. And of course, if you cook...
Excuse me? Corn cob jelly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's so starchy that if you...
Oh, you put it in whatever else. It's not like a jelly made of corn cob.
Well, I think it does. It's like a creamy corn jelly.
Perfect.
So that's why. And then, of course, you can definitely, as I said, frosty. Also, you can make a pipe out of it and smoke weed.
Done it many times.
Definitely, me too.
Absolutely.
So now.
I just did it yesterday.
My corn story is done.
That was really interesting. There's a lot of crazy things you can do with corn. I remember I was sitting with my friend Alexis years back, and she's like this amazing, like hippie, cool... acupuncturist. Yeah, she's amazing. And she's like, you know, this was like 10, 12 years ago, and she was starting to just learn about how corn was and everything. She's like, I remember we were out to dinner and she's like, everything is made of corn. Everything. The paint, the table. We got here on a vehicle made from corn.
It's
the
true.
Drinking glasses. Everything is everywhere. Corn is everywhere. And I was like, okay, let's just take a deep breath.
Yeah, hold on.
Have another corn. Hit from this corn cob pipe.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. Take this.
The green corn is on its way.
Yeah.
Everybody just chill out. Well, I was reading a little bit about corn and that apparently it was developed by people living in Mexico 7,000 years ago.
Yeah, okay. similar research.
Yeah, 7,000 years ago. And also what I was reading was that it was cultivated, that it wasn't, and beyond it being cultivated, so it wasn't like we were just talking about how it was genetically, not genetically engineered in a lab, but somehow a crossbreed from its ancestor of the single road cob.
Yes.
Made the whole thing that we nibble off of, mm-hmm. the round dildo toilet paper substitute.
Yes.
That we all know and love. But what I was also reading is that there's a large conspiracy theory out there that corn was brought to this planet by aliens.
That I did not know.
Yeah, and it's been transported all around by aliens. Because this is kind of like a longer discussion. You guys can go and read some weird conspiracy theory websites. Who knows? But they're saying that... the only way that it really could have kind of gotten to be kind of wherever it is.
Yellow.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Plus the whole crop circle situation, which is a real thing. I'm not sure if anyone's been privileged enough to see the movie Signs starring Mel Gibson.
Yes.
M. Night Shyamalan's finest work.
Great actor.
Yeah. Great actor. Great lover person. Lover of Jews
lover
and women.
Of people. Yeah, yeah. He's really a nice guy.
A non-drunk driver. No, he's amazing. But anyway, so I was reading this guy, Dr. Horace Drew, not the Dr. Drew of Loveline, an Australian scientist, talks about how crop circles are schematic images of the future for astronomical or human events. So people who believe in crop circles, like Mel Gibson and Dr. Drew, believe that aliens are basically coming down from space and leaving messages about what's going to happen in the future in crop circles.
Oh, okay. So we should really be... Okay, everybody stop right now.
Let's go start. Yeah, look and see. I personally, there's like a lot of explanations out there, like how else crop circles happen and corn mazes. It's pretty crazy that like overnight all of a sudden pops up this incredible, wacky looking thing. I believe in aliens. I hate when people say I don't believe in aliens.
Carl Sagan said it. You know, they're there.
I mean, we just to don't not believe in aliens is just like pretty narcissistic. Like,
yeah,
this is an alien podcast now.
Yes.
So anyway, another thing about aliens. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so yeah, in the U.S., I was also reading that I guess we harvest 9 billion bushels of corn per year, and it's a $30 billion industry with half of that corn going to
how
feed
many
animals.
How many iced tea cups is that?
That is a very... Somebody,
there
listeners...
are enough iced tea cups to take you to the moon and back 3 times.
If anyone can figure that out, how many 32-ounce iced tea cups is in 9 billion bushels, we will
give
let
you
be... We'll give you a dollar and you can be the third host on this podcast forever. Yep.
And we will give you an unlimited amount of corn cob toilet paper.
You know who I bet is going to figure it out?
Who?
My aunt, Bridget, Boulder Bridget.
Our number one fan.
She's going to be like, I'll figure it out. Thank you, Boulder Bridget. You're the best. P.S. We've been meaning to give you a shout out. So I have a really interesting story about corn today.
I'm very excited to hear this.
So my story that I picked to talk about corn is about the creation of Kellogg's cornflakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys are avid listeners to this podcast, you'll know that I've been talking a lot about lately because we've seemed to have mentioned a lot of things that happened around the turn of the century. We were talking about burgers and Upton Sinclair, and then we started talking about...
We are kind of obsessed with the turn of the century.
Yeah, we are. This is a turn of the century podcast. So anyway, we mentioned...
a lot of podcasts.
A lot. Yeah, I know. It's getting crazy.
That's a monopoly.
It's a plum cast. It's a turn of the century podcast.
Yeah, I forgot about plums.
It's a Where I'm From podcast. Anyway, it's everything to everybody. So... I've been talking a lot about the movie The Road to Wawa. I've mentioned it a couple times.
Yes, which is still on my queue.
It's amazing. And while I was researching cornflakes, I'm like, oh my God, this sounds so much like
not
The
to
Road.
Not to be confused with Quaker corn bran.
No, not. Don't confuse it. Absolutely not. Don't confuse it with anything.
Not that yellow checkbox.
Mm-mm. So anyway, I was looking it up. I'm like, God, this story sounds so much like The Road to Wawaville. And then I'm like, I'll Google it. I'm like, Road to Wawaville, Kellogg's. And it's like, it is.
Eureka, I'm a genius.
It is the story. Yeah. Of The Road to Wawaville.
Somebody already wrote a movie about it.
Yeah.
Oh, darn it, but that's okay.
It's literally about them. It's not like loosely based. It's like they are called Kellogg's.
We're almost ready for a remake.
I think we should have a remake starring you and I.
That's right.
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I just remember parts of it, but I'm going to rewatch it because it's really funny.
You know what's so funny is I didn't see the movie, and although I know the old saying of Kellogg saying that was a cure for masturbation or something, right? But I don't know.
Well, this is the story.
So here we are.
Anyway, see The Road to Wawaville. It's a 1994 film by Alan Parker. The great Alan Parker. So I got most of my research today from the Daily Kos article by a gentleman named Lenny Flank. So thank you, Mr. Flank.
Thanks
I took a lot of research from you. So
we're
picture
getting
it.
Rich off your writing.
Lenny.
Lenny will take you out to dinner.
Lenny will take you to the moon and back three times. Okay, picture it. The year is 1894. Mm. Two brothers, Dr. John Harvey Kellogg and Will Keith, a.k.a. W.K. Kellogg.
Hey, W.K.
Exactly.
Throw me the ball.
Oh, hey, that's how they talked. No, they were like, excuse me, W.K. They were very proper.
Yes, and they had nice Spencerian penmanship. And
these two people had no fun. I'm telling you this right now. They had zero fun. Their lives were so vanilla. It's
Isn't that
kind of
weird
unbelievable.
That Frosted the Flakes with the... Who was that?
Oh, that came way later. I'll get into the Frosted Flakes later.
Oh,
that's when they invited a tiger into the business.
Just like Cheetos.
Exactly.
Tigers are very popular.
Tigers are very bad.
Very, very popular mascots.
They quote everything.
We're going to rebrand. We did a tiger.
Quick, somebody get a tiger in this
life's
place.
Life's a banquet.
This podcast is great.
Cats. It all comes down to cats. Okay.
Okay. So they start a sanitarium in Michigan, in Battle Creek, Michigan, the year 1894. Now, they were Seventh-day Adventists, and they had moved to Battle Creek because that's kind of was like the hot spot. It was like
Adventists.
Adventists?
Adventists.
Adventists doesn't...
Adventists.
Okay. Perfect.
I think, right?
They were... I've heard Adventists, but I also don't care. I just say it looks like dentists.
Perfect. Dentists.
They were seven dentists. Okay. The founders of Seventh-day Adventism were the self-proclaimed prophets Ellen White and her husband James White. And it was basically about strict biblical literalism and clean living.
I am a self-proclaimed.
So anyway, so they start this sanitarium in Michigan and basically... When I hear sanitarium nowadays, I think like a loony bin, but this was kind of more of a place where people like checked in. There was like this whole big turn towards like health and well-being. We're just discovering what it's all about. What does it mean? The guy who invented the graham cracker had been really into it. I don't know if he was a Seventh-day Adventist, but he definitely had a puritanical thing about like clean living and health. And we chopped up into this when we were talking about white bread and how certain people really pushed against modernization and industrialization of food. That word's hard for me to say.
Yeah, you're right. There was a movement of people trying to...
Right, and trying to figure out what to do. So I've...
Spas and...
Correct.
Hot bath is there, you know.
Yes, and other weird things in some podcasts I've listened to. I really like the podcast The Dollop, and they did an episode. I feel embarrassed. I can't remember exactly who the guy was, but it was a guy who was in this certain time and experimenting with like what he thought, would make people healthy. And he was big on ripping out everyone's teeth. And then removing body parts.
Like my grandmother.
Exactly. So he would rip out his whole family's teeth and then he would, castrate them and then take out their spleen. And people were just like experimenting. They're this like, well, just, you're still sick. Maybe if I just take out all your, you know.
This was an insane serial killer that got away with it.
Basically. But people were confused. That's what I'm trying to say. And they were experimenting with health and they were doing all these weird things. That's why you guys have to see the movie The Road to Wellville. It's really funny and interesting. And it really just depicts all this stuff. So among some of the famous people that went to the sanitarium, President Warren G. Harding, actor Jimmy Weissmuller, Henry Ford, Amelia Earhart, and the one and only Mary Todd Lincoln. So this place was teeming with celebs. All the high society was there at the sanitarium. But
Oprah's there. Martha Stewart's there.
Well, nowadays, yeah, probably. That's what would, if it was still around. So anyway, these guys were, like, as I said, they were super boring. They were super mainstream. John was the doctor and WK was the bookkeeper for the sanitarium.
Okay.
So they kind of played different roles.
So he was a doctor.
He was a doctor.
Whatever that meant back then.
The Adventists believed that maintaining the purity of the body's temple, you couldn't have any caffeine, no alcohol, no nicotine, no sugar. They were strict vegetarians. And what's more, no spicy food.
Oh, yes. Spice is very bad.
No masturbating.
Oh, yes, of course.
No masturbating. No sex. John Kellogg actually was married and never had sex with his wife. And they adopted kids and lived in separate rooms. That is how against sex he was. Because he thought that
sex... So why did they want to stay healthy?
Because he thought that sex would... Well, I mean, that's a great question. What are you staying healthy for if not to have sex and eat and like enjoy life? Just to like
sit. Yeah, I guess, again, they were confused.
They were very confused. They're like, this makes sense. So anyway, they never had sex. They lived in separate bedrooms. They talked about masturbation.
There's still religions that do that as we speak right
now. Of course. So they called masturbating onanism. And John Kellogg said that it could... affect you in like ways from epilepsy to mood swings to dementia to he had like 48 different things he said that
maybe
it would do.
Maybe
you.
He is onto something.
I mean, he probably was crazed. This is my assumption. He was crazed. He was deprived of like any fun. He didn't eat anything except for like bran and didn't have sex with his wife, didn't masturbate, and then was like going crazy. So he's like, it's masturbating. You know what I mean? Like none of this makes
exactly.
sense.
He didn't have sautéed spinach.
He was a tightwad.
Or corn on the cob with butter.
No, and no beef. Definitely not. Any meat. Never went to a supper club or a steakhouse. Didn't have a single or married cheese curd ever.
Classic.
So these guys were just extremely boring. So they started experimenting with making this kind of like corn and bran cereal that they called granula. And the name was already taken. It was like somebody else already made granula. This is going to require more research on my part about how two people randomly came up with a food
like
called
Swiss muesli.
Maybe, but there's like, I already made a granula. And he's like, but I have a granula that will make you not masturbate.
Yes, my granula is special.
I have a special granula. They were American.
Oh, okay.
I have a special granula. But
yeah. And from Michigan, they're probably like, I got a granola.
I got a granula that'll fool you into not wanting to touch your patulia.
No patulas in this granula.
So anyway, they were doing that, and then they started experimenting with putting some of their weird dough concoctions through the sheeter and then letting it dry and then baking it. So it was like the first flake cereal.
It's actually very creative when you think about it.
I know, it actually is very creative. Yeah. I'm like, how did... It's weird when
you
think about how things
they weren't
formed.
Doing all those other things that distracted them.
Exactly. I mean, think about what you could be making right now if you stopped masturbating.
Yeah. Let me show you.
You would have probably like...
there's like an entire city, a country.
A small city.
Yeah, like he made the 8th continent.
After all that macerating and vacillating, if you could just control it.
I assure you that I had
masticating.
Not macerated. Yeah, masticated, vacillated, or macerated a single damn thing.
Well, you were with your parents all weekend.
Well, they had plenty of peaches and I did do a damn thing with them.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Now, you know.
So anyway, they turned it from making, they were sheeting it with like bran and then they just started using corn instead. And that's how they got corn flakes. Mm-hmm. And they were, giving them to all the people at the sanitarium because they were saying it was like clean food and pure food. And they were like, when they were detoxing, it was like getting them off of like sex and masturbating. They're like, here, have you want to masturbate? Instead, just
have a dried corn flake.
And there was no sugar in them at all. So they were even grosser than they are now. I'm not a cornflake fan. If anyone out there is, that's fine. I don't care. Do you?
The young ones were like, what if we batter? What if we took a fried chicken and rolled it in cornflakes? Or
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cereal, whatever that is, cereal milk. But anyway, so they made cornflakes. There was no sugar in it. They started mail ordering it to like former people from the sanitarium. That was kind of how it started. And then the brother, WK, was like, listen, man, we have to put sugar in this. It's absolutely disgusting. It tastes like cardboard.
Imagine the corn back then, too. It was probably very mealy.
It
was probably feed corn.
And it probably came in like a sock or something. Like they didn't have like packaging. So it was probably like, here, take this old sock.
A burlap
that
sock.
Nobody's masturbated into.
Yeah, exactly.
This not crunchy sock.
We assure you these socks were never, never.
So they started mailing and then the brothers got in like an argument because, you know, WK wanted to put sugar in it. The other dude, John, didn't. So then in 1906, after all this frustration, WK Kellogg purchases the rights to make cornflakes from his brother, changes the recipe, set up the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company, and took the name Kellogg and then renamed it the Kellogg Cereal Company. Around 1915, they start adding Rice Krispies and Bran Flakes. And today, Kellogg's Corn Flakes are the best-selling cereal in the United States of America.
Today. Still today.
Yes. So I checked the Kellogg's website.
More than Fruity Pebbles or Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah. I don't understand who is out there. Please, if you're a Corn Flake purchaser, I would like to know why. I'm curious. I love cereal. I would eat Corn Flakes. I would eat anything, pretty much, except for, like, Frog. And breakfast yogurt.
That's true.
But, you know, it wouldn't be my first pick. So I checked the Kellogg's website. I'm like, oh, I wonder what they have to say about this, about, you know, under their history section about cornflakes. And there's no mention of anything about masturbation.
Well, of course they're not going to say that now because all the executives
all the executives are masturbating everywhere. They're probably masturbating listening to this podcast.
Probably over your podcast, over your voice.
This guy hated masturbating so much. I just want to read you a quote. Neither plague nor war nor smallpox have produced the results so disastrous to humanity as the pernicious habit of omnism. Such a victim dies literally at his own hand.
Well, this guy is insane.
He hated masturbating. It's like one of those things. I mean, we still deal with this kind of stuff today with, like, you know, other people who are anti-gay marriage, anti-abortion. It's like, why don't you just worry about if you masturbate? If you don't want to, don't do it. Nobody's forcing your hand. Who knew that, like, cornflakes would, I don't know. He's like, here's something penis shaped that won't make anybody want to masturbate.
You need to read this next thing.
Okay. So he also was so anti-masturbating that John Kellogg, among the treatments that they had at basically the Road to Elbow place, he proposed to stop masturbating is to pierce the foreskin with silver wires to prevent erections and using carbolic acid to burn the clitoris so it wouldn't be touched.
Classic.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Isn't that horrible?
That is absolutely terrible.
Yeah. So he was like, okay, people were like, you know what? I don't really want to pierce my foreskin or like burn off my clitoris. So do you have anything in maybe like the crunchy breakfast cereal department that could help me with my urge to masturbate? Yeah. And he's like, yes, I've got just the thing.
And that's where they came up with Frosted Flakes. Yeah. First there was granola. Then there was
granola. Just sounds
Are
so
you sure
funny
he
to
didn't
say.
Copy granola. And then
no, it was opposite. That's what I thought. I thought he was going to be like, oh, I want to make granola, but I can't. So I'll call it granola. But actually there was two granolas. Double granula. Yeah.
That sounds suspect.
It really does.
Right? He's like, he probably stole it from something.
I liked, when I was younger, I was a major fat kid. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I was just a chubby kid, which is chill. Who cares?
Chubby kid, no problem.
Look at me now,
Mom. Look at me now.
Look at me now, world.
Look at my 1-inch waist.
Look at me now, world. I have a 10-inch waist. It's amazing. I loved cereal for sure.
Yeah, and who didn't?
But I loved corn pops.
I loved corn pops, and I loved corn bran.
Oh, what's corn bran?
Corn bran, quicker corn bran. It's little squares. They're
oat bran.
No, it's corn bran.
Really?
It's a very, very...
It's niche. It's Wisconsin. We had Oprah and Long Island Girl.
Yeah, we had that too. It was a niche cereal. My sister and I loved it. And it stayed crunchy very long.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like little... They would kind of float on the top in perfect symmetrical...
Ooh.
It looked like just a beautiful wallpaper.
Oh my God. I should... You know what? I had thought of maybe getting us some cornflakes to eat for the episode. But then I was like...
I don't want to eat them.
I don't want to eat cornflakes.
No.
Sorry.
I ran through a cornfield this last week.
Really?
Uh-huh, it was
very scary.
Did
you get stung by any bees?
No. But it made me think of Children of the Corn, and I thought something would come up, and I really got... I was frightened. It was the middle of the day during sunshine.
Just like a small child with like dark eyes who's dripping wet. It's just like just moves too fast towards you, like... And then shows up behind me. Hello, Breton.
I'm afraid of...
Or like a sneaky alien.
Oh my God, look, I have goosebumps
you
from
do.
That. I have real live goosebumps.
Yeah, it's scary. Children of the Corn was really terrible. What about...
Sorry, guys.
Oh my God, you know the alien movie that scared me a lot when I was younger? Fire in the Sky.
Oh, that was a classic.
That is a scary movie involving cornfields. I'm sorry. If I lived near... I'm a Long Island girl, for anyone that doesn't know.
Yes. I don't remember.
We
that
have
before.
A lot of corn, but... You know, in the suburbs, it's not like you live near a cornfield. Like, I can't imagine anything more terrifying than growing up with a cornfield. If any listener out there grew up with a cornfield in their backyard, please write us an email. We want to hear about your cornfield
lifestyle. Especially
those of you
from Iowa. Iowa's the number one corn-producing state.
Whoa, I don't know anyone from Iowa. I've never been, and I can't imagine ever going. Unless someone invites me, listeners.
I saw Dave Matthews Band. Just Dave Matthew, actually, solo in Iowa.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear about the story about when Dave Matthews Band, like...
Dropped poop in Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was living there, actually.
You were on the boat.
I was actually underneath. It's just poop.
For anyone who doesn't know, Dave Matthews Band's tour bus emptied out their
poop.
Bathroom.
Dave Matthews
onto,
poop.
Out into the water, off a bridge, and it off. Went onto a boat of people's heads.
Yeah, that's kind of... That's just strange. Anyway,
it's a terrible story.
Speaking of corn.
Speaking of corn, yeah. So, back to reality.
Speaking of corn poop.
Speaking of corn that's in your poop that for some reason is always in every poop, even if you've never eaten corn.
That is true.
Just like carrots are an all throw up.
Oh my God. I saw throw up this morning with carrots. That's
of
so
course,
weird.
Every throw up has carrots in it.
You're right. That's very...
You're like, but I'm allergic to carrots. I've never had one.
This
I don't
is
know.
As strange
explain
as
it.
The anti-masturbation story.
Okay, so just segueing right from poop and vomit into our top three. this week.
Okay,
top three things. I thought this week for top three, Breton, Scott, we could talk about our favorite corn dishes.
Okay. Well, exactly.
Take a break. Why doesn't everybody take a 10-minute pause, come back to this in 10 minutes once you've become like not sickened?
Exactly. Okay, favorite corn dishes. I don't want to talk about something that's made with corn because if I had say my favorite... Well, you know what? Yes, I can.
Okay, top three.
So my favorite thing that... One of the things that you can make with corn is the sopes. Sopes, right? So sopes are made from masa, which sapa. Sapa la patapa, masa rasa. Sorry, learning. It's Duolingo.
Learning hurts.
Sorry, Duolingo is all over
learning
the place.
Learning is
right
brains.
I'm getting Arabic confused with Mandarin, confused with French. It's terrible.
It's okay. I turned the gas on the stove. But
masa is, so it's corn that has been treated with lime. So they make that, you know, that's what tortillas are made out of.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sopes, so you can buy that masa. And you know what has, you know, has a really nice masa is Bob's Red Mill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Bob's Red Mill.
I love that, Bob. We should get him on the show.
Bob's a great guy. Listen to his story. He's great. So you take the masa and it's very easy. You just mix it with some warm water and you shape it in your hands. And sope is a little disc.
Yeah.
Right. And so you shape it, it has a little well in it. And so you can.
Kind of like a flying saucer.
Kind of like a flying saucer. Wait a second.
Uh-huh. It's all it coming
is,
full circle.
So it is full crop circle.
It's. Oh.
My God.
Oh, no.
it's
like a flying saucer.
Well, anyway, these
meat.
Aliens. So this is from the island of Kesmar. Now this is Kesmar sopes. So what they are is you take the soap in your hand and you can definitely look at lots of YouTube videos, but they're very simple to make and you can fry them. You can shallow fry them and you just have to flip them over and then you can fill them with some beans, some cheese, and you know, they're like little snacks, little snack cakes. Kind of like Johnny cakes.
Yeah, kind of like a Johnny cake. Mm-hmm. They're delicious. Yeah. So you make like a little indentation, you fry them and you have like a little fried mini bowl made of like masa, and then you can put like any fillings in them. They're very good.
And then obviously right now, I mean, I can't deny that one of my favorite things, which is popping all over every millennial's Instagram feed everywhere, is an elote or a version. Now,
delicious.
Now,
perfect.
What people are doing, and I'm okay with this because I'd have no choice besides being a curmudgeon-y third ager, is the deconstructed elote, where they take it off the...
Make like an elote salad.
Which I don't mind. So, okay. Elote flavors. Zara?
Queso fresco.
Mm-hmm.
And like mayo or aioli. Mm-hmm. Lime. Like achiote chili powder.
You can make achiote. I've been doing achiote oil, which you just kind of like gently simmer some oil with the achiote seed.
Nice. And a little cilantro.
Yeah, a little cilantro. But basically the flavors of elote, you get that. You have the creaminess from the mayonnaise.
Creamy mayonnaise, salty cheese.
Yeah, you can even use pecorino. You could use...
Yeah. Definitely
a sharp cheddar. I mean, you can use anything, yeah. Really. But that nice cotija cheese is wonderful. And then
you get that
lime and the spice. Sometimes I put some cumin in it.
That's delicious. I haven't had elote all summer. Or maybe in a couple summers even.
They're
it's really good.
So good.
So elote is your second fave.
Yeah, if not first. I mean,
it's really
good.
Because
that's just like 100% corn.
It's delicious.
And of course, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Corn on the cob dipped in a vat of butter.
Yeah.
Sprinkled with crunchy salt and black pepper.
Perfect. That's the best way to eat corn.
Yeah. And it gets stuck in your teeth. And I have three fake teeth in the front.
Oh.
Newsflash. I have teeth implants and I have to use the side of my mouth to bite the corn off because it's too much.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's terrible. But I mean, I've still managed.
That's so cute.
I'm like the person that limps that still, like, and he still runs marathons. I have a teeth, what's it called?
Problem.
Yeah, tooth problem.
And
you, do tell your favorite corn things.
Oh, well, my favorite corn things are, I guess my number three would be a corn chowder.
Corn chowder with crab?
I mean, yes, absolutely. Oh. Crab can be there. This weekend I made, this is a sidebar, this isn't my favorite, but I had made ricotta and dill cavatelli, and I threw them in the freezer.
Oh, that's right.
And I made them, Becky and Adam came over, and I made them with a little bit of cream and some fresh corn and some extra dill, zucchini flowers, and black bass.
That sounds lovely.
It was really good. But anyway, so corn chowder, really, really love it. You can put potatoes in it. You could put salmon in it. You could also go ahead and put I was going to try to do an NPR thing. Yeah, you could just cover it in Frosted Flakes. No, but I love corn chowder. I like most chowders in general. And I think adding crab to it can only enhance.
Oh, here's another. Remember when I made a quiche? And then I wanted to make a corn quiche, but what I did was I just pureed the corn with the milk, which is very classic. It's starchy, but it was a wonderful, you know, it's like a corn flan.
Yeah, I think
corn custard.
Delicious. My second favorite thing with corn is polenta.
I like how you said polenta.
Polenta. Listen, we always had polenta on the menu in Brucey for the most part, almost like every day.
You did have lots of polenta.
And, you know, we served it as a side. You could order polenta with, like, red sauce and pecorino and olive oil on top, which is how I like it. At the end of the night, I would always take one little nibble of polenta. I'd put a tiny bit of red sauce on it, a little bit of pecorino, and I'd eat it out of the six pan, which for any of you non-restaurant people is just like a size of
pan. They're like those little metal pans that you see.
Yeah. And the sixth one is a perfect square, basically.
It's a perfect square.
I would take the last bite out of the sixth pan pretty much every day. That's how I maintain my physique.
I like a deep nine.
Oh, a deep nine. Yeah, well, who doesn't?
Yeah, deep six. Okay.
Wait a minute. Don't you rush me. I didn't say my favorite thing
yet. Oh, my
yet.
Gosh, no.
Hell out of here. You just want to say your three favorite. You don't even care. Are you even listening?
Hello, Siri.
Polenta. I'm going to say this very slow now.
I thought you were done because you said my favorite thing.
No, I'm not done. Polenta is my second favorite thing.
And what's your first favorite thing?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I do.
Know?
I can't stand
Maybe
it.
Maybe other people want to know. My favorite thing is popcorn. I love popcorn. I love it.
I didn't even get to popcorn.
I love it.
Hey, Zara, I don't like popcorn.
I love it. I'd marry it. I'd buy it a nice fancy dinner and introduce it to my parents.
When we were at the Madison Farmers Market, just this last Saturday, there were lots of people selling popcorn. And we got the mushroom popcorn, which is the kind of popcorn...
Do tell.
It's the kind of popcorn that blooms fully around, so it's like a bulbous. It's often, if you ever see...
Wait a minute, you eat it off the cob?
No. But it's the kind of popcorn, if you ever go to Garrett's of Chicago.
That comes, like, if you get, like, a popcorn and, like the three flavors that come in a thing. Which totally reminds me of my dad. He used to get me that every year for Christmas.
I got a giant 5-pound bag of it, so we're going to be having...
Did you get cheese flavored?
No, we just got the unpopped popcorn.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we can make it ourselves.
Oh, that's so exciting. Oh my God, that's
great.
And
by the way, if you want to do something different with your popcorn, here's my recommendation.
Oh, please.
Bacon fat.
Oh yeah, I mean,
if you're feeling like...
That sounds good.
But plenty of butter.
Bacon fat is really good. You know what? Recently, I've been, this past summer, just really drinking a lot. Not in a scary way. Nobody needs to be afraid. I'm just having fun. I've been like, you know, out, not eating dinner, coming home drunk.
I love how you're like, nobody needs to be afraid. I was like, except you. None of us are worried except...
Nobody on the street needs to be afraid.
I don't have a problem. I promise. In fact, it's not a problem. Look at it. I still go for a run every morning, and I'm still reading on my books. My bills are paid. See, so it's not a problem.
Look at my skin. I'm perfectly unwrinkled. No, not like drinking a lot. I've just been like going out. It's summertime. I've been having fun and oftentimes skipping dinner, and then I'll come home and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so
skipping
hungry.
Skipping dinner, 3 martinis.
I'm so hungry. And then I'll make popcorn, and I haven't had butter a couple times, so I just did straight olive oil, and it's actually just as satisfying.
It is very delicious.
It's really good with just olive oil. I like coconut oil. Obviously, if I'm on my hippie vibe, I'll do some nutritional yeast on top. But my number one fave, you start with like olive oil in the pan. You put a sprig of rosemary in there. Mm-hmm. You put a crushed thing of garlic in about halfway through because you don't want it to burn.
Rosemary garlic popcorn.
Then once it's almost done popping, you throw in a giant chunk of butter and you put salt in when you first start it. And then when it's done and it's still in the pan, while it's still hot, you grate pecorino or Parmesan
I've had that popcorn
over the top.
Yeah.
But it's delicious because what happens is the pan is so hot on the bottom that the pecorino actually like... gets crunchy on the bottom. So when you're done with all your popcorn, there's like a crunchy layer of griddled pecorino on the bottom of the pan.
By the way, everyone listening right now, first of all, thank you again. But I wanted to send a reminder that please, if you need a single recipe or hear something that we've talked about, please do, because our website is being worked on right now. And you can email
Life's... It has one of those little under construction.
Yeah. A little like dancing penguin. Life's a banquet show@gmail.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram and direct message us. And if you hear of anything or want to remind yourself of anything or have a question, a cooking conundrum, a cooking emergency, don't forget that you can always send us an email.
Totally.
Or
and
a direct
message. We're going to put up a recipe. We're going to start putting up a recipe every week.
By the way, the recipe of this week, since I just wanted to start doing it, was something that Zara used to have at her restaurant, Brucey, which I copied when I never served brunch at my restaurant in Denver. Mm-hmm. But I did serve it once for kind of a dessert. But the corn pancake with coffee butter.
We used to do a polenta pancake.
Okay. So can you tell us how you made that?
Well, I would have to look up the exact recipe, but it's very similar to like what you would do with normal pancakes. So it had some regular flour. It had a leavening agent in it, and I think baking soda.
Probably baking soda and a little baking powder.
Baking soda and baking powder, buttermilk, and then we'd use...
Melted butter.
And then polenta, dry polenta.
Use that nice Moretti dry.
And you let it sit overnight. Yes, the Moretti dry. You want to use a fine. That's actually a really good point. There's a lot of different kind of polentas out there. Some are very like coarse. You want to use a fine ground polenta for this. Let it sit overnight, and then it's a big fat honking pancake. And you get it. Let it get very, very crispy on the one side, and then
you cook it in some butter, right?
We cooked it in olive oil.
Olive oil. Okay. Yeah. Just as delicious.
And then we'd let it get really, really crunchy on the bottom. And then we'd throw it under the salamander, which is that thing in a restaurant that's like a broiler, basically. But you can just throw it in the oven. You don't want to... I mean, you also could flip it if you want. And then we would make like a compound coffee butter. It's a lot. We talk about butter. We talk about coffee butter.
Coffee butter.
We use coffee butter a lot for different things, which is really just like coffee grounds whipped up with really
and
nice
And you just keep the coffee grounds
butter.
Right in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little cinnamon, tiny bit of salt and sugar, and then that would go on top. And we typically always do some kind of agrodolce with it too, a seasonal agrodolce. So
which means sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour, right. So we would do a lot of times, like in the fall and winter, it would come with like a butternut squash agrodolce and then maple syrup.
Corn pancake, butternut squash, sweet and sour, coffee butter.
Yeah.
I mean...
Or apple agrodolce was
anybody listening
favorite.
That's thinking about ruining their lives and opening a restaurant, feel free to put this... We will help you ruin your life by putting... Go ahead, put this recipe on it.
Actually, I walked by an empty restaurant space today on Smith Street, And I think I might. I was like, what could I do? Maybe I should open another restaurant.
Zara and I are working on a pop-up. So
I'm always tempted, even though like I wanted to pull my hair out pretty much every day and my life is so much better now. When I do walk past an empty restaurant space, I'm like, think of the possibilities. Yeah, yeah.
Possibilities.
Well, this was a fun episode. You're corny.
Everybody
take a picture of your poop if it has corn in it and send it to Brett and Scott at pets.com.
Yeah, pets.com. No, thank you. listen, again, go to our Patreon page. Help
Please.
Us support. We need your support.
What's your problem, everyone? Nobody wants to give us money for making a podcast? I don't understand. What have we... Haven't we done everything for you?
We have more and exciting and wonderful video things coming to you. We just need the support because it's very expensive to hire editors, sound producers, producers, assistant producers, executive producers.
And take time off work. And we want to get some merch made and do some fun stuff. And
That's right. But so, stay tuned. Email us, lifesabanquetshow@gmail.com, or follow us on Instagram at lifesabanquetpodcast.
Thank you. Oh, and Twitter also is allegedly a thing that we're supposed to be doing. But
yeah, we
tweet,
Facebook, we're out there.
Yeah, Napster, Grindr, pets.com.
But hey, visit us in person. We'll take you out to lunch and you'll pay for it.
Okay, perfect. Okay, cheers. That's a good idea. Love you, Breton. Hasta la pasta.
Hasta la pasta. Happy cooking, happy everything.
All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star, award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.